This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. A couple of years ago, our China correspondent Rob Schmitz did a series called The Street of Eternal Happiness, stories of the people who live on that street in Shanghai. Today, in a city that is changing so fast, a story that hits remarkably close to home, his home. Here's Rob.
I moved to an apartment complex in 2010. It's called The Summit. It's made up of 8 high-rises surrounding a green courtyard where my children play. It was built a decade ago along the Street of Eternal Happiness. Once, I asked a neighbor what used to be on this land. Just a bunch of old rundown hovels, he said with a swipe of his hand. Later, I learned hundreds of families lived here, sleeping where my family now sleeps. What happened to them? Seniors in the old alleyway homes across the street all pointed me to a woman named Xi.
Yeah.
The day I met Xi Guojian, she had just stepped off a train from Beijing, where she was released from prison that very morning. For 20 years, the 61-year-old has petitioned China's government to investigate the death of her husband. He died when developers came to demolish his home to make way for the high-rise where I live. Ever since, his widow's routine is predictable. She pleads for justice outside Zhongnanhai, the headquarters of China's Communist Party along Tiananmen Square in Beijing. She's tackled by police, and she goes to prison.
One time I spent 14 days there. One time, 38 days, and this time, 6 days. Whenever they let me out, I go straight back to Zhongnanhai.
Her life is on repeat. Before my complex was built, she and her husband, Zhu Jianzhong, had an apartment on the second floor of a house where they lived with their son. In 1992, the local government sold their neighborhood to a developer owned by Li Ka-shing, the richest man in Asia. The developer gave residents apartments in a faraway suburb in return for leaving their homes. She and her husband refused.
One day at around 8 in the morning, I was returning from the market when 6 of the developer's thugs tackled me outside my home and pushed me into a car.
Several others, as she climbed a ladder to her balcony. She says she screamed for her husband, but it was too late. There was a scuffle inside, and then black smoke poured out of the balcony window before the house went up in flames. She's husband burned to death. The developer's men escaped. The developer said Xi's husband set himself on fire.
My theory is that they beat him up badly. In China, if you injure someone in a situation like this, you have to pay more in compensation than if he died. I think they burned him to death to avoid the cost.
10 years later, the man in charge of the demolition crew that confronted Xi's husband was sentenced to death by a Shanghai court for burning an elderly couple to death across the street during the demolition of that neighborhood. Xi and Zhu's son, Wei Qi, was just 10 years old when his father died. That day, police escorted the boy from school to a government-owned motel where he was detained with his mother for the next year and a half.
When he learned his father died, he kept hitting the wall until his hand started bleeding. He stopped talking.
That was 20 years ago. I was almost scared to ask what had happened to him. He's finishing his PhD at Kangnar, she said in Chinese. Cornell University. Wei Qi Zhu is 29 years old, and he works here inside Hong Kong's second tallest skyscraper. When he's not finishing his doctoral thesis in finance, he trades derivatives for one of the world's largest banks. What he's accomplished in the 19 years since his father's death is just as impressive as his country's incredible development during that same period. Wei Qi thanks his father for his success.
First of all, he is a really, really good father. I think he is kind of like the father in a growing pain.
If you didn't catch that, he said growing pains.
As long as we got each other.
The show was popular in China in the 1990s. He and his father watched it religiously. Life in his neighborhood was carefree, he says. It was like living in a village inside the largest city in China. After his father died, Wei Qi turned inward. He spent his time studying and trying to blend in.
I would say I tried a lot to hide what happened to my family.
His mother did the opposite. During his teenage years, she was constantly getting arrested in Beijing, leaving him in their tiny apartment alone. Wei Qi says this never bothered him. He's always believed her quest for justice is right.
If I were against it, I think she were in a much, much like tougher situation because it would be like no one and this entire world understand her.
Weiqi has only returned to his old neighborhood once. It's now full of expats and European restaurants, reminiscent of a time before the Chinese united under communism to expel Shanghai's foreign occupiers, a time when this neighborhood was run by the French.
It's kind of sad. There are so many foreigners actually right now live there.
I'm one of those foreigners. I tuck my children into bed above the spot Weiqi's father used to tuck him in at night. I watch my children play where his father used to watch him play. Weiqi says his father's death taught him that, however bad things seem, things could always be worse. Since then, he's always stayed calm under pressure, a trait that's helped him in the high-stakes world of derivatives trading. One night, when he was in middle school, the police came to his door. He was home alone. His mother had been gone to Beijing for weeks to petition the government again. He had just cooked himself some noodles.
Firstly, they tried to knock a door, and I just asked, like, who are you? And they said the policeman, and I told them, like, my mother was not there. They said, yes, she was not there because she was detained, and I need a signature, and I just refused to open the door.
The police smash through the door, ripping it off its hinges. They handle a startled Weiqi, a document stating his mother was in prison in Beijing. He refused to sign it. The officers stormed off, leaving the boy inside an apartment without a door. At 14 years old, Weiqi had lost his father, his home, and now his mother would be away for a while, too. Hardly anything scared him anymore. He stepped over the splintered mess and walked down to the street where he found a handyman. A new door was in place before he tucked himself into bed that evening. On the Street of Eternal Happiness, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.